I love it when I can say it's 5 p.m. Friday. It's like taking bricks off of my shoulder to say that I can be here at the station and play some music for you. Time for American Radio, of course. 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. I'm Tom Ryan with my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan.
Always working in the background.
Or forefront on occasion.
Sometimes.
Maybe when you're not on the mic, that's definitely the case. Well, we've been doing this forever, Heidi and I. Forever as long as we've been together, because I've had the show for a couple of years before Heidi moved up from Louisiana to be here. And since she was, I figured we'd do everything else together. We may as well do this together. And boy, she's really, it's fantastic to have an engineer because I need it. It's impossible for me to be able to run a board and do what I do with the talking and the notes and the pieces of paper that I'm constantly moving around and everything else. So I really do appreciate it, having a wife who's an excellent engineer. Now, we've been doing this, the series lately is called How Music Changed on Fridays. By lately, I mean the past two decades. The series that we're doing right now, though, is we're calling the Anthology of American Folk Music. It's dedicated specifically to one release that came out in 1952. It is so important that I figured I could dedicate an entire series to it. I'm not going to do that with another single disc, nothing. I mean, I will cover specific artists, their entire career. I will cover entire genres. That's fine. But a single record, that's almost crazy. But in this case, it isn't, because Harry Smith is more or less teaching us how American music developed and how it came together by suggesting what it was like before recorded music even happened. He was a huge collector of 78 RPM records, and he wasn't interested in the commercial stuff at all. He was trying to find records that were recordings of basically ordinary people who had been living not in the cities and not trying to make records for profit, but were doing things because it was something that they had learned from their own history, from their elders, the people that maybe that they came from another country and they carried the songs with them and for generation after generation. And a lot of these songs are meant to represent that and how it eventually came to pass that how these different types of styles, from blues to gospel to Cajun music, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, would come together and form a very unique type of American music. Not many people were able to even think about trying to do that, but Harry Smith not only did it, he did it with some sort of weird, unique, cosmic genius. Now, we've played, he broke his original release up into three separate parts. And we've played all of part one, which I don't remember what part one was. That was the ballads section, excuse me. And we just started the social part a couple of weeks ago. And last week, I will admit, we had a pretty tough show because when he got really, really deep in the social part because he covered a lot of very, very, very early Cajun songs and also some very early religious songs, like shape note stuff. And I'm sure that it would be very hard for like the average person in the year 2026 to listen to that and find it to be, quote unquote, pleasurable. But we're really here. Of course, I want everybody to enjoy themselves, but I want them to enjoy themselves with a sense of like feeling as though they're learning something as we go. And this is such an important album as far as learning that history. So here is where we're going to end part B, which is the part which is referred to as social music. Now, social music means could be instrumental dance music. It could have been like the Cajun, some of the Cajun music that we played. And of course, it could mean where people would gather, which is church music, religious music. So what Harry Smith does in this section, so adeptly here, he shows us how the line was crossed from Christian music and the blues, almost as if there was no line at all. As time went on, gospel music would become something that belonged almost exclusively to the church, and blues would be considered as the devil's music by certain quarters, and they were segregated, literally, as though there was a wall between them. But this episode plainly lays out evidence that gospel music belonged to anybody interested in saving their soul, including, and perhaps most especially, sinners. Now, there are quite a few artists in today's show who refer to themselves as, quote, unquote, sanctified. But perhaps poignantly, there are more who do not. Perhaps Harry Smith had the subtle intention of reminding us that there is and never was any color line where God is concerned. And he's not one to judge righteousness over whether or not how God would be judging people in general at all. So let's get started. The first track for today's show is credited to Reverend Sister Mary Nelson. It was recorded in Chicago on April 21, 1927. Now, the notes here read, Sister Nelson may have been from Memphis, Tennessee, though she recorded it in Chicago. There's only one photograph of her from the 1927 Vocalion catalog. That was the label that she recorded on. And it suggested that she was probably born in the late 19th century, judging her age. There is no doubt, however, that she was a member of a Pentecostal church, a female preacher who probably had a storefront church. Her recorded repertoire consists solely of three songs and one sermon, and that was performed in her powerful, full-bodied voice with assistance from John Davis and Clarence Nelson. Now, as far as Harry Smith's notes, he just pretty curt here in the way that he summarizes it. He says, unaccompanied religious verse song with chorus followed by lines selected from the general stock of religious phrases. And then, in his succinct way of putting together the words, he says, judgment morning, God, Jesus coming, unawares, cloud bears horses, get mourning garments, staff in hand, gambler, liar, drunkard, adulteress, hypocrite, pretend us, waste time, judge young and old. Better get ready for judgment. Here's Sister Mary Nelson.
Better get ready for judgment. You better get ready for judgment morning. You better get ready
for judgment. My God is coming down.
Better get ready for judgment. God is coming down. The cloud will be his horses. When men began to frown,
you better get ready for judgment.
You better get ready for judgment morning. You better get ready
for judgment. My God is coming down.
Better put on your mourning garment and get your staff in your hand. For Jesus coming that morning, he's coming unaware to man. Better get ready
for judgment.
You better get ready
for judgment morning.
You better get ready
for judgment. My God is coming down.
Well, all you hypocrite members, you wasting your time away. My God's calling for Wagman, and you had better obey. Better get ready
for judgment.
You better get ready
for judgment morning.
You better get ready
for judgment. My God is coming down.
The gambler, the drunkard, the liar, and that adulterous too. Well, all these false pretenders and all them hypocrites too. Better get ready
for judgment.
Oh, you better get
ready for
judgment morning. You better get ready
for judgment.
My God,
it's coming down.
When Jesus gets tired pleading, and he won't plead no more, he'll call the world together. He'll judge the young and the old. Better get ready
for judgment.
Oh, better get ready
for judgment
morning. You better get ready
for judgment. My God, it's coming down.
Well, you better get ready
for judgment.
Oh, you better get ready
for judgment
morning. You better get ready
for judgment. My God, it's coming down.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen indeed.
If you better straighten up and fly right after that.
You know, Heidi, I had known that track for about maybe 5 years, and I had no idea that it was a woman singing. I did not not a clue.
It could go either way, huh?
It was about maybe, I'm very familiar with this box set for decades now, but for the first 5 years or so, I'd just be playing it, just listening.
Thank God her name wasn't Pat.
Oh, right. I mean, in my head, I'm just listening and I'm thinking like, wow, listen to that guy's voice. That is intense. Now you put a woman's, a woman to that voice and it's like, that's beyond intense for a woman. That's incredible. Reverend Sister Mary Nelson. It's called Judgment. Not even close, but I try it. All right. Next up is credited to the Memphis Sanctified Singers. Track is called He Got Better Things for You. So this group of Pentecostal singers, known as the Memphis Sanctified Singers, or as Bessie Johnson and her Sanctified Singers, based in the Mid-South, which is kind of vague.
That's not the same Bessie Smith.
No.
Okay.
No. Bessie Johnson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. They were led by Bessie Johnson, who was originally from Columbus, Mississippi. Little more, though, than that is known about the group, though they were almost certainly associated with the Church of God in Christ, which was the largest Black American Pentecostal sect, which is also based in Memphis. So there's the Memphis connection. On this recording, this guitar accompaniment, which is provided by Will Shade. We'll be hearing more about Will Shade in the upcoming shows in the next series, which is called Songs. And those three shows are going to be the most entertaining. The next six shows are going to be like incredibly entertaining. They're very easy to love. So we're talking about the Will Shade playing guitar. He was also a Victor Talent Scout and the leader of the Memphis Jug Band. So he got around. In addition to her own recordings, though, Bessie Johnson's highly emotional voice, what we just heard, I suppose, can also be heard on recordings by Lonnie McIntosh, Elder Tarleton Roberts, and Reverend Johnny Blakey. So she got around on a bunch of recordings. From Harry Smith's perspective, he says, this is a religious song similar to, but with verse phrases of a later type than those heard on the song that we had just played, the Sister Mary Nelson song, Judgment. Here, when he does his succinct condensation of the lyrics, he says, half ain't never been told. Jesus Christ, Savior, got Holy Ghost and fire. Cornelius humble, not sufficient. God sent angel, Saint Mary, virgin, birthed Son of God. God made her new, now waiting in glory. Here's He Got Better Things for You by the Memphis Sanctified Singers.
Kind friends, I want to tell you, because I love your soul, and no doubt you've been converted. Never been told. Some people, they'll try to fool you, say there's nothing else to do. But Jesus Christ, my Savior, he got better things for you. He got better things for you, and no one on earth can do. He got your
Holy Ghost and fire, sure can make you thrill. He can't fire a thing for you. No one on earth can do. Oh, praise my heart, oh, Jesus, he can't fill a thing for you.
On New Year's he was humble. He prayed to God always. That was not sufficient for the evil in his brain. God sent to him an angel, and he told him what to do. Don't say he's waiting in glory with better things for you. He got better things for you. No than your friends can do. He got the Holy Ghost and fire. He got better things for you, and no one on earth can do. I'll place my mind on Jesus, he got better things for you.
Saint Mary was a virgin, she birthed the Son of God. But that was not sufficient, she had to be well sure. God sent her to Jerusalem, and there he made her new. Don't say she's a-waitin' in glory with better things for you.
He got better things for you, more than your friend and you. He got a Holy Ghost and fire, sure can make you thrill. He got better things for you, and no one on earth can do. I'll place my mind on Jesus, he got better things for you.
Whoop. All right. We're not done with Bessie Johnson yet. Or Melinda Taylor, who's the woman, one of the women you hear harmonizing with her, because they appear on this next track as well, which is also the part of the Church of God in Christ. So this is an interesting story about them. Here, the song is credited to the Elders McIntosh and Edwards Sanctified Singers. Now, McIntosh and Edwards were elders in the Church of God in Christ. They lived in the Mid-South, spending part of their professional and spiritual career in the middle to late 20s around Memphis. In addition to the song we're about to play, they also recorded a song about the Mississippi flood in 1927 with the help of Sister Bessie Johnson, who we had just heard singing and who we're going to hear again singing in the background on this track. An African American, probably born around 1890, he was last known to be living in the boot heel of Missouri, which is about 100 miles north of Memphis, as late as the early 1970s. If you're into, by the way, a more recent group from the Church of God in Christ happens to be the Edwin Hawkins Singers. That's the group that recorded Oh Happy Day and had a huge top 10 hit single in the 1960s. Same exact group of people, well, generations later. But this is the Elders McIntosh and Edwards Sanctified Singers. The song is Since I Laid My Burden Down.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down.
Glory,
all of my troubles will be over.
To me, that's a clear example of what I was talking about in the introduction, about how there is really no line between gospel music and the blues. So that song, as we heard it there, is a song you could say is a gospel song. I understand that. But the song itself has been recorded by people like Mississippi John Hurt, Mississippi Fred McDowell, and in their hands, it's got a totally different feel, maybe the same spiritual sense, but it's a blues song, of course, because they're blues artists. So it has a lot to do. That's what I'm saying. As we move through what Harry Smith is doing, I can almost feel it, like what he's trying to convey. What we covered last week was much earlier, much like harsher, difficult to swallow in some places. Fun to me, it was fun to play it, but I'm sure that there were a lot of people listening that they're like, "Oh man, this is a tough listen." This is why it brings us to where we are now, and we're continuing on that path. The next track is yet again a religious performance. It's by Reverend Moses Mason. Can't get much more religious name than that. The track is called John the Baptist. Now, Reverend Moses Mason was from Lake Providence, Louisiana. And we only know that he recorded 8 songs for Paramount early in 1928. Like, this song was recorded in January of 1928, making it 98 years old, including some under his conventional name and some under the name Red Hot Ole Moe. Now, 2 of the selections, Molly Man and Shrimp Man, are work cries, which are, you know, at the time, rare examples of street vendors' patters, what people would do to sell their wares. His other sides are sacred, including 2 unaccompanied sermons and 4 songs that reflect the importance of Reconstruction hymnody in shaping the repertoire of Black American Protestants in the 20th century. This song is one of those songs that reflect that importance. In addition to the guitar, which we're going to hear Reverend Moses Mason playing on this track, he also played the banjo. Now, the song, John the Baptist, has the same refrain in the middle, you'll hear it way up in the middle of the air, as the popular sacred song known as Ezekiel Saw the Wheel. It's a way of basically saying that how songs were more or less bleeding together. People were lifting ideas from songs all over the place. And Harry Smith is picking up on that and putting the pieces together to say, this is what's been happening, maybe going all the way back to the 1600s. And that's how these songs are now somehow appearing in the South and in Appalachia, and how they eventually formed American music, and why we now have the type of popular music that we have, because these are our roots. Here's Reverend Moses Mason with John the Baptist.
London Star at number 3 in the middle of the valley. London Star at number 3 in the middle of the valley. In those days, St. John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of beauty and sin, we sent he for the kingdom of heaven, the land for the city that was spoken of by the prophet Ezekiel, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path was straight in the sand. John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his long. John done saw that number in the middle of the air. John done saw that number in the middle of the air, crying, hurry, 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 my Lord God, hurry. Jesus came
came from Nazareth unto Galilee to be baptized of John in Jordan. And John said unto him, comest thou to me? I need to be baptized of thee. And Jesus said unto John, suffer it to be so far. Does it become just to feel all righteousness? And John done saw that number, being in the middle of that. John done saw that number, being in the middle of that. Crying, how long, how long, how long, my Lord, Lord, how long? After Jesus was baptized, all John straight way out of the water looked and saw heavens open and the Spirit of God came down and it abode on him. And Jesus was carried up into the mountain to be tempted of the Satan. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter came unto him and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself cause thee stone to be made bread. And Jesus said unto John, get behind me, for it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, but him only thou shalt serve and pray. John done saw that number, be in the middle of that. John done saw that number, be in the middle of that.
All right. That is Reverend Moses Mason, John the Baptist. And now we get to the point where we begin to cross over. Still a religious song, but yet it's a secular song. It's exactly like what I was saying before, but that would have depended upon who was singing it. But in this case, it really depends on how you hear this song, because it could really fall either way. The artist is Bascom Lamar Lunsford. Known as the minstrel of the Appalachians, this guy is amazing. You've heard about A.P. Carter, of course, of the Carter family, and how he would go he would walk for miles and miles, like dozens of miles, over just to find a song, and then he would bring it back for the family to learn it and then publish it and do what they could with it. He did the exact same thing. He was a banjo player, fiddler, country lawyer, and an avid collector of Appalachian folk songs. He was from South Turkey Creek near Leicester, North Carolina, traveled extensively around the area collecting and memorizing songs from his neighbors. In 1928, he founded the Mountain Dance and Folk Song Festival in Asheville, North Carolina. He started that in 1928. Keep that in mind. He was involved with it for the rest of his life. Keep that in mind. He also composed a number of songs, including Old Mountain Dew. Whoa. He had a great memory for songs and recorded frequently. In 1949, he recorded his memory collection for the Library of Congress. Before each song, he enthusiastically told its history and the identity of the individual he collected it from. He remembered all this. He recorded 350 songs for the library. Talking about everybody else, I said 350. And that's just for the library. Twice before, he had recorded over 300 songs for other collectors. His first recordings were done so far back that they were on wax cylinders. He lived to be 91, and he could be found at his festival every year until his death, from 1928 until the year that he died. Unbelievable. He said he first heard the song Dry Bones from a traveling black preacher named Romney who came through his area. He remembered that. 1,000 songs and he remembers that. I want to remind you, he was in the 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD, New York. Here's Bascom Lamar Lunsford.
Old Enoch, he lived to be 365. When the Lord came and took him back to heaven alive, I saw I saw the light from heaven shining all around. I saw the light come shining. I saw that light come down. Oh, and all prayed in prison. Them prison walls fell down. The prison keeper shouted, redeeming love I found. I saw the light from heaven shining all around. I saw the light come shining. I saw the light come down. When Moses saw that a burning bush, he walked it round and round. And the Lord said to Moses, you's treading holy ground. I saw the light from heaven shining all around. I saw the light come shining. I saw the light come down. Dry bones in that valley. Got up and took a little walk. The deaf could hear and the dumb could talk. I saw the light from heaven shining all around. I saw the light come shining. I saw the light come down. Adam and Eve in the garden under that sycamore tree. Eve said, Adam, Satan am attempting me. I saw the light from heaven shining all around. I saw the light come shining. I saw the light come down.
When I started my own collection of blues a long time ago, one of the first people that I fell deeply in love with, and I couldn't understand why he fascinated me so much, Blind Willie Johnson. There was something about his gravelly voice. There was one song where his voice was so gravelly that I could hardly believe it. And then all of a sudden, he would suddenly turn, he would go up an octave, and he sounded angelic. It seemed almost impossible to me. And he gave me goosebumps. And he only recorded about 30 tracks, so it wasn't that hard to basically know as much as I could about him as anybody could know about him, because there really is not that much information available about him. But I know that eventually his songs became so well known that people like the Carter Family and the Blue Sky Boys and the Carlisle Brothers would all cover his songs. He's definitely like some of the most popular religious songs ever recorded were made by Blind Willie Johnson. The thing is, if you check out the bits of history that I do know, they are so nightmarish and horrifically racist events that defined his life and death that it makes me sick when I read about them. He became blind at the age of 7 when somebody threw lye in his face. It was totally unnecessary. That's why he became blind. And as a blind black man, that's why he became a singer. It was just what happened. Possessed of a gravelly and really powerful voice, like I said, he recorded about 30 songs. It was popular with black culture. Wasn't really well known by white people until like maybe the late 50s or early 60s, when people like Bob Dylan began to pick up some of his songs, eventually covered by Eric Clapton, Ry Cooder, and you would maybe know a bunch of his songs, like If I Had My Way, which was actually even covered by Peter, Paul, and Mary, of all people. He died in 1949 when his house caught on fire. And he survived the fire. But he was totally soaking wet and burned, contracted pneumonia, and he was refused admission to a hospital. So he died. Makes me sick. just thinking about. Blind Willie Johnson. Here's John the Revelator.
Well, who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven. Tell me, what's John a riding? What's John
a-riding?
What's John a-riding?
Master Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven. Father, who by the wifey has cried a holy, bound and fold the son of our God, daughter of Zion, Judith the Lion, he redeemed the saint that bought us with his blood. Tell me, who's that a-riding? Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven. Well, what's John a riding?
Master Revelator.
What's John a riding?
Master Revelator.
What's John a riding?
Master Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven seals. John the Revelator. Great advocator, cast him on the Fatima's eye, for telling the story, rising in glory, cried, Lord, to the love of Samaya, tell me who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven. Well, what's John the riding? What's John a riding?
Master Revelator.
What's John a riding?
Master Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven seals. While Moses, watching the flock, saw the bush where they had to stop. God told Moses, pull off his shoes, out of the flock, whether you are Jews. Tell me, who's that a riding? Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven. Well, what's John a riding?
Master Revelator.
What's John a riding?
Master Revelator.
What's John a riding?
Master Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven seals. Well, who are we? Hell's cried a holy. Bound and fold the son of our God, daughter of Zion, Judah the Lion, he redeemed us and he bought us with his blood. Tell me, who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Who's that riding?
John the Revelator.
Hey, book of the seven seals.
Whew.
That's some powerful stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Blind Willie Johnson. Yeah, I highly recommend going deep with him. You know, you can only go so deep. It's about three albums worth of material, maybe two. You know, if you get 15 songs on a record, you got 30 songs. That's it. That's his career. That was recorded. And you can call it gospel music. You can call it the blues. A lot of it's fun. A lot of it's truly beautiful. And it's exactly walking that wire between what is religion and what is the blues, where I was getting at the very beginning of what we were talking about. Now, we've already played the Carter Family once. Harry Smith had them laid out earlier in this series. And he brings them back here again, this time with an older song. This is a song that dates right back to when they made one of the very first electrical recordings. I believe that this is when they were at that recording house in Virginia, when it was pretty much the Great Bang, or for the birth of country music, when Jimmy Rogers and the Carter Family both appeared at the exact same place to audition to see if they could like record for, I think it was Paramount. And They almost didn't make it, the Carter family. AP was really pushing hard. They had to borrow a car. I think it took them like 8 hours to go 20 miles through mud and everything else to get there. And AP was really easily distracted. On this track, you will hear him singing, but he sometimes doesn't. He had this way of like basically walking around the room. And the girls were so good at what they were doing, and AP didn't play an instrument. The girls did. So he would sometimes just wander away and look out a window instead of singing. But this is one of the songs that they had recorded. And it is really, to say, the birth of country music right here, maybe with this song. Because, first of all, there's the auto harp chords, which are played by Sarah, who also is the lead singer. But then there's Maybelle playing the melodic guitar line, which ends up being copied by just about every single country music player for the next 50 years. And if it wasn't for Maybelle, there'd be no country music. I mean, it's pretty much, that's just a fact. And their rhythm is, like it says right here in Harry Smith's notes, their instantly recognizable rhythm has influenced every folk musician for the past 25 years. And he wrote that in 1952. So add another 75 years to that, and then you got the truth. That's 100 years of influence from the Carter family. The song is entitled Little Moses.
Away by the river so clear, the ladies were winding their way, and Pharaoh's little daughter stepped down in the water to bathe in the cool of the day. Before it was dark, she opened the ark and found the sweet infant was there. Before it was dark, she opened the ark and found the sweet infant was there. And away by the water so blue, the infant was lonely and sad. She took him in pity and thought him so pretty, and it made little Moses so glad. She called him her own, her beautiful son, and sent for a nurse that was near. She called him her own, her beautiful son, and sent for a nurse that was near.
Family. The song is entitled Little Moses. Now, I am in no position to critique Harry Smith. I am, as you can tell, I'm so enamored with his work that it's crazy for me to even hint that. But that being said, right here is the only time that I would say he should have swapped these two songs in a different order. I'm not saying that he should have changed. I mean, I'm not saying anything like remarkably critical. I'm just saying that the next track that we're going to play is by Ernest Phipps and his Holiness Singers, and it's called Shine On Me. And in my opinion, it should have appeared before the Carter Family. And the reason I say that is because the song Shine On Me is a song that I know as performed by Blind Willie Johnson. I don't know for sure, but I think he might have been the first person who could have recorded it. According to the notes on Harry Smith, notes himself, he says that the song is almost always performed as this person sings it here, Ernest Phipps and His Holiness Singers, because with the tempo much faster after several slow verses, a device first recorded by Willie Johnson. And I remember it because it was one of the first songs by Willie Johnson that knocked my brains out. It's like, let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. It's like where he back, like I said, he went from like having that really unbelievable guttural sound, and then he suddenly sounded so angelic. I just love it so much. To me, it would have made sense to have them back to back. But with one song in between, I'm really splitting hairs here, aren't I? So here's Ernest Phipps and His Holiness Singers performing Shine On Me. Then brings us near the end of our series. Next artist up is Reverend F.M. McGee. from Winchester, Tennessee. He was a descendant of Booker T. Washington on his mother's side, and he attended college in Oklahoma. He was trained to be a teacher, but called by the Spirit and became an evangelist and a faith healer. Arizona Drains, a blind female pianist and vocalist who we covered when we did our gospel show. Check it out. Go to our website, AmericanIndNetwork.com. There's a lot of stuff there for you, I promise. She helped him build a large congregation in the Oklahoma City Church of God in Christ. Eventually, he moved to Chicago and operated what they called a canvas church, Church Without Walls, on 33rd Street. But within 3 years, they began building the first of his temples. And in the company of Arizona Drains and the Church of God in Christ Jubilee Singers, he made the first of his sermon recordings for OK in June of 1927 and started a recording career that would last for 3 years. It issued on the Victor label mostly, with including recordings with brass and string and rhythm instruments. On this track, in fact, there's a trumpet, and they're thinking, they don't know for sure, but they think that it's Red Allen, the jazz trumpeter, Red Allen, probably playing the trumpet on this track. Reverend F.M. McGee, 50 Miles of Elbow Room. All right, that leaves us with one more song, and it's going to be Reverend D.C. Rice and his Sanctified Congregation. He had a small church in Barber County, Alabama, and after hearing the recordings of other preachers like J.M. Gates, who we played last week, and F.W. McGee, who we played just 2 minutes ago, he asked if he could get a recording with a certain label, Jack Capp of Vocalion Records, who turned him down. But eventually he rethought it, and he went on to say, and he hired him. He ended up making some of the most exciting holiness records of all time. Here's one of them. I'm in the battlefield for my Lord. Take care, folks. See you next week.
I'm in the battlefield for my Lord. Don't know if I'm out there to stay too, Judge.